On our home course, there's a particularly difficult par 5 hole. It comes after a par 3 over water with a small green, then a very steep, tall climb. We like to walk for our health, so when we get to the top, we are winded. The par 5 is very long and not very wide. There's a cliff on the left and a cow pasture on the right with a barbed wire fence. Normally, there's a lot going on through our heads when we tee off on that hole, and we're lucky if one of us stays in the fairway. However, that hole has one of the best views in Utah. You have an unobstructed view down the mountain all the way to the Great Salt Lake. When you play in the evening, the setting sun plays off the water, making for magnificent views. There was one day when, after we had all teed off, and despite a great drive, the wind pushed my ball out of bounds. I was having a bad round anyway, so it was just par for the course. Taking a step back, I took in the magnificent view and forgot all about the round, just taking in the scenery. Remember, even the worst round of golf is worth getting out, taking in some clean air, and enjoying the view. So get out there today and make some memories. This is For the Record. Golf, the hardest game we love to play. These are the ramblings of three nerdy golfers.
Our continuing mission? Explore strange new swing techniques to seek out lower handicaps and awesome golf courses.
And to boldly swing where a safe layup would have been the smarter choice.
Welcome to another episode of For the Record. It seems like a really long time since we've been there, but today is an exciting day because it is the official launch of Season 2. Da, da, da. We are officially back in the golf season. Our golf challenges begin today. We've been warmed up and we're ready to go, and so this is the beginning of Season 2. Today we're going to talk a little bit about our magnificent round of golf that we just finished. Also, we have a talk nerdy to me. We're going to be talking about our exercise challenge that we did over the off season, and then we got a birdie bev to close things out.
I think that you need to work on your sarcasm meter tone, John Paul, a little bit. Magnificent on the course today.
Some days you either laugh or you cry. I'm choosing to laugh. That was a horrible round of golf.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. But it wasn't all bad. There is a celebration. Eric had a great round today.
Yeah, it was all right. Started off better.
Started off fantastic.
Then went south a little bit.
And course conditions were not ideal. There were two major compounding factors. First of all, for anybody who golfs regularly, the greens have been punched and sanded. So it was like Plinko, and the speed was so unpredictable. Putting was awful.
It's
today.
So important that they do it. I'm glad they do it. It's just nobody wants to play on it. And so we're like, why are they going to punch the greens? Well, they need to do it because we want it to have better greens for the future. But we still hate playing on it.
I have such a good idea. I just came up with this brilliant idea.
They should build two greens on every hole and then punch one so we can play on the other.
That seems much less practical and much more expensive than my idea. When you freshly sanded and punched your greens, just cut the cup bigger.
There you go.
Just cut a bigger cup.
I would be okay if they would just maybe knock off 20% of your,
of your admission
of
fee.
Your admission or something.
Well, we have a punch card, so how does that work?
A fifth of a punch.
Excuse me. If you look closely at that punch card, I think you're fine.
Do you remember that Rick Shields episode?
That there's
where
one
he
punch left.
Goes to the place and it's like a 3 foot hole.
For football golf.
But they're playing actual golf on the course.
I would do it. I would want to do that because then I might actually have a chance at a hole in one. But then I also think it'd be fun to play like football, like soccer
I
golf
do too.
Too.
I think that'd be awesome.
There's a couple courses.
I think if the holes had been that size today, I would have had a decent shot of at least parring one hole.
It was a rough round for you.
It was a little bit tough today. So let's jump right into our first segment in the tone of our round today and go.
Best shot.
So we played the round today at our home course. Said it was pretty rough. What was your best shot and worst shot? And give an explanation in detail, John Paul. Why don't you kick us off? Because you played so well today.
Yeah, it was such a great round. Let's see. I think my best shot today, I hit a fabulous 7-wood on the last hole, which is a long par 5, and we were a long ways away.
Was that 17? Not 18?
Oh, it was 17. You're correct. The number 17 par 5. Up a hill, just hammered one. It was so good. It was so smooth. It was just effortless, and it went in a straight line and then hit an extremely hard fairway and rolled out into the right rough and had tree trouble. But it felt really nice coming off the club face, and I felt very macho. And what made it better somehow is that Eric hit it a magnificent 5-wood seconds before, and I saw it, and I thought, oh, man, if I could just rinse and repeat that, I'd be happy as a clam. And lo, I rinsed and repeated it. It made me feel so good. The clouds
parted, and behold.
On the other side of that, then I had a truly terrible round today, but I'm having an issue with something in my swing right now that is actually causing me some pain in my neck, which hasn't happened since my surgery, and so it's got me a little worried. But something is going on that is causing that pain in my neck, and as a bailout, my body is exiting the swing early, so I'm not getting all the way through it. And I tried every swing thought in the universe to try and stay down through the swing, and I couldn't do it. I bailed out on everything. And the worst example was the drive on the 18th hole. I almost missed the golf ball, but I basically cold-topped one probably 35 yards. And it's just really hard when you need 250 yards off the tee and you're getting 50. That just makes the game difficult.
Yeah. If the tee box wasn't elevated a little bit, like that had negative launch.
It was going nowhere.
Yeah. It was really fun to watch it hit the little knoll of a hill and then pop up 50 mm-hmm. yards. That was fun.
Yeah, and if we had been anywhere other than Utah, it would have just embedded in that hill and stopped.
All right, Eric, what about you? Best shot, worst shot?
My best shot, it's hard to pick. My first three holes were...
Well, then that's a great thing to start off already if you can't pick your best shot.
I had three pars in a row, and that was... They were all...
Wait, were three pars in a row?
He went par, par, par the first three holes.
Par, par, par. Yeah. That's a par stalker in the app, dude.
That's fantastic.
Nice. But yeah.
Download Links and Legends and play it.
Yeah, I was doing great. And then my worst shot was right after that. We went to a par three and I chunked it into the water. And then my push cart broke down and I had to go up a giant hill and the brake kept applying. And I was just, by the time I got to it, my body was just ruined and I couldn't put my round back together.
We were just doomed today.
I was wondering what happened because you pushed it up that hill and then immediately you just like threw your golf bag off and then turned your thing upside down. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was killing me. My wrist, because it kept popping it, my wrist was injured. Yeah, the rest of my round, I was in pain.
So I'll go next. On 16, I'm going to start with my worst shot. And my drive was okay. It was a 3-wood off the tee box. And this is a hole that has water all to the left side. And the wind was going directly into us. And so I'm like, I naturally have a clockwise spiral spin whenever I hit the ball. And so whenever the wind is coming at me, it's going to accentuate that spin. And I was expecting a bit more of a slice. And my drive went straight as an arrow. It didn't curve at all. And so it landed just kind of on the side of the bank, and I don't know how it didn't get wet. And it probably would have been better if it was wet, because I was faced with a very downward lie over water again to get it towards the green. And I stood over it, and then I was like, hey, John Paul, what do you think that I should do here? And he went up and looked at it and said, well, of course you should chip it off to the side and then chip it onto the green and be on your way. And I immediately said, nope, I'm going to go for the hero shot, and immediately topped it straight into the water. Dropped from relief and popped that straight into the water. So that whole hole was just a bad hole.
Yeah. And it's my nemesis hole. How come it's beating you up?
Yeah. It's what I get for asking for advice and then saying, nah.
Never mind. Nah, I'm not doing that.
Not doing it. You should have told me the opposite. You should have been like, you need to be the hero.
And go for it. You got this. Like,
no.
You were going to hit that. There was nothing any of us were going to say that was going to prevent you. But to be fair, the round was already a complete write-off by point. You weren't losing anything other than a golf ball.
Yeah. Even the first off the tee, it was off. And
yeah, I did not have a great round today. But the hole before that, 15, par 3, not terribly long. Tee shot was very short and rolled up kind of along the cart path and was just off the cart path. So after I kind of got relief and pulled back, my chip took one hop on the green, kind of rolled to a stop, and then rolled kind of curved right around to 6 inches from the hole to save par. That was my best shot, and I was quite happy with that. And yeah, that's the only good thing I have to say about that round.
And you were talking about earlier, you know, my sarcasm, I need to work on that. You would think, having punched and sanded the greens as they did, they would give us some sort of advantage. I don't know who made the greenkeeper angry. I saw parts of that course I've never seen. He made up new tee boxes very far back from the regular tee boxes.
It wasn't like
a couple of them were back there. He found the furthest point from every hole on the entire back nine. That course played so much longer today than it ever plays. And then when you finally did make it to the green, there was no putting on it. It was an awful day. I left my rangefinder on the first hole. I was in some trees on the left. I wasn't in a bunch of trouble, but I'm not the most finessey player around the greens. And so I wanted a yardage. It turned out it was 54 yards into the green from there. I didn't hit the green anyway. I was a little bit short, but I left my rangefinder there. I put it on the ground so it wouldn't interfere with my swing. I didn't realize it until the next hole. And it is like, what would you say, a one-story climb?
Maybe
a two-story climb back up to that. So I ran 300 yards uphill two stories to get the rangefinder. By the time I got to the rangefinder, I was glad it was still there, and that was the end of me. Like I never recovered from that. My heart rate was up the entire rest of the round. So very, very bad decision-making by John Paul today.
Yeah, it was interesting up and down. It's good to do the good shot, bad shot, because regardless of where your golf game is at, generally, there's at least one good thing you can take away, even if it's like an accidental, you know, thin it to win it type situation where you got away with a good shot. And the bad shots are just for comedic effect, but it's good to see the highs and lows of a round.
Now it's time for another
Talk Nerdy to Me.
This is a Talk Nerdy to Me that I've been thinking about because I don't get to watch as much TV as I once did. There's a lot of shows out there that I would love to see that I haven't caught up on. But it seems to me that most of the television that's available right now is reboots of previous things or sequels of previous properties. There are very few brand new properties that are out there. And it kind of made me beg the question, because we have a lot of obscure fandoms and beloved things that we've enjoyed as children. If you were an executive for a giant streaming company and given a giant pile of money and you were in a think tank room and saying, what's an IP? What is some sort of something that existed that you would reboot? What would you redo and bring into the modern age? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does it have to be something that was particularly old?
I don't think there's any rules. I mean, they reboot Spider-Man every 5 minutes.
Is there like a line in which nostalgia comes into play?
Sure, but you can still do it well. So a perfect example is Battlestar Galactica was beloved in the late 70s, early 80s as a sitcom television series. The reboot of Battlestar Galactica in the early 2000s, that show is vastly superior to the original Battlestar.
So much yelling, though.
But it is. It's a tough watch. I mean, you hate every one of those characters at some point.
Rather than acting, they just scream at each other.
But that would be an example of one. But there's so many good ones out there that either were rebooted poorly or have never been revisited.
I have one.
Go for it.
Let's hear it.
I don't know if I'd reboot it, but I would want to maybe start another vein in it, I guess. Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
That universe, that dystopian future, I feel like they could do some cool stuff with that.
The Firefly universe is a really good universe. Like
it's got rich lore.
You can swear in Chinese all you want, which is really handy. but no, like the Western in space.
Yeah.
It's a classic Western in space. I love it.
Well, and then there's the core planets that are rich and utopian almost, but also superly oppressed. Like, they never really explored that. You could have somebody in there that's trying to get out. Like, there's a lot of angles you could take on that.
You bet. And I think that you could do that tastefully, because many of the characters from the original Firefly are gone. either through writing or they're just gone.
Did you know that they're doing a cartoon?
But that's a rumor. There's
no, they have
Nathan Fillion is making a big deal of it, but yeah, he doesn't have the money to do it. So he's going to have to find backers, and I don't think he's got them yet. But I think you could bring Nathan Fillion back.
Oh, yeah, at absolutely. Least.
I think when he said he wants all the original cast to be the voices on the show.
They all announced it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can go because it's very obscure, and I'm pretty sure that neither of you have heard about it. Nobody knows about this show, but as a kid, I loved it, the lore, and it was just fun. It was a cartoon called Mummies Alive.
Oh, yeah. I watched that.
You would reboot Mummies Alive?
That was a surprisingly fun show.
It really was. Do you know what Mummies Alive is, John Paul?
I'm vaguely familiar.
They had like motorcycles and one would fly.
Yeah. It was a kid that was like some ancient relative to the pharaoh, and he was able to bring these mummies alive, and they have like powers. It's very much like a cheesy kid show in the era when like Power Rangers was huge.
Yeah.
And like Digimon and Pokemon and all that stuff. Mummies Alive. I think it was like one season.
Would you reboot it for kids, or would you try
totally for kids.
Yeah.
And just because I think you could do a lot with ancient Egypt in lore and making it kind of fun for kids and stuff. And that's why I say it's really obscure, because I think of the main IPs that are being rebooted.
Yeah.
There's just so many of them. And retelling the same story over and over again is great. I think what happens if there's a story that didn't do so good, and it's not that necessarily the story or the location was bad. What if it was just bad timing or bad production?
Sure.
And that's one that I remember loved watching that as a kid. And I was like, let's give that one another shot.
Along that same vein, did you ever watch the Gargoyles show?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was another one that would...
That could be rebooted. I was actually thinking, I'm not picking it as mine, but I thought it might be fun to do a modern computer animated reboot of Thundercats. You could bring out Mumra.
Have you seen that they're doing He-Man?
Yes, yes. They spent a lot of money on that. A lot of people love the He-Man IP.
Yeah,
and it's actually, I played with the action figures as a kid, and I watched several episodes of the cartoon. The actual lore is kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Transformers. It was really cool candy when you were a kid, but if you actually study the story of Transformers, it's actually a really compelling story.
Have you watched the trailer for it?
Yes.
I think it looks like a fun movie to go see.
It looks like a fabulous
movie. I will give any movie a chance.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be very deep. I think it's your standard action summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
Sure.
But if I walk out of that theater just like and had fun, it's a success to me.
You bet. You bet. All right, I love movies that surprise me and that are more fun than I think they're going to be.
All right, John Paul, what's your reboot?
I would reboot a movie, but I wouldn't reboot it as a movie. I would do it as a miniseries. So I'd do it as an 8-episode limited series. Maybe Apple Plus or something. I would love to revisit The Black Hole. The Black Hole is a Disney movie that was a dismal failure.
It's one of the first animated movies.
It was kind of like, take that Star Wars, and it just didn't work out for them.
Is this the movie you told me that is really good and then at the very end tapers off?
I don't think it's really good at any point.
Oh, okay.
I think it has really good
stuff. Oh, I'm thinking
The
Black Cauldron, not The Black Hole.
But it's got really good stuff, but the end is crazy. Like, back then, the idea of a black hole scientifically was relatively new. Like, we didn't know anything about them. So the science around the black hole is absurd. And in the end, they go through the black hole and they see, like, images of, like, God and hell and all these interests. It's awful. It's completely unhinged at the end. And that's a shame because the science behind black holes is actually really fascinating with relativity and things of that nature. But the core idea of finding this madman who has been surviving with his robot buddies on the verge of a black hole, that's interesting stuff. Mm. I think you could do something really cool with that universe, and I think it's interesting. I'd love to see it like sort of expansy. I would love to redo that. Plus, Vincent the robot is awesome. I would love to see a modern take on Vincent.
So you said that reboots kind of all the rage. You know, they reuse a lot of IP.
Yeah.
What else is really popular right now is crossovers between IP.
Ooh.
And like different series and even like it snuck into board games and card games. Like if you I've been out of Magic the Gathering for many, many years, but every now and then you see things stocked on the shelves, and Magic the Gathering did like Final Fantasy crossover. They did Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. They did My Little Pony. And they did
they do Kingdom Hearts too. They did
Avatar the Last Airbender. Sure. And all of these crossovers. So if you had to cross over something with your given choice, what would it be? I have yours.
I know what mine is.
Can I tell you what I think yours should be with Black Hole? Based on your description that you just told me not too long ago?
Yeah.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Mr. Toad, when Mr. Toad takes a ride and ends up through the black hole and then still ends up in hell.
I want to see. So in the closing scene, there's an evil robot in the black hole named Maximilian, who's one of the coolest robots ever. And he's encapsulated the antagonist, and they've become one, and they're in the flames of hell, literally. I want Maximilian, like with his creepy eyes, to poke around the corner with the little hell rats in the Toad's Wild Ride. It would enhance that ride significantly.
We should do a guy's day and watch that.
I think we should.
I thought you were going to say, let's do a guy's day and go to Disneyland.
Let's do it. Let's watch the black hole. You guys can just vomit all over it. Now, crossover though, I read a comic book that I wish they would do so well. They did a crossover between The Next Generation, so Picard and the Enterprise, and they had the 10th Doctor visit.
Oh.
Because theoretically, those universes can
coexist.
Yeah.
That would be fun. David Tennant on the bridge of the Enterprise.
He would just walk around, push buttons.
He would.
Beep, 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 beep. Any crossover ideas that you've got, Eric?
For Firefly, I don't know. That's a little, like, I was thinking Star Wars, because Star Trek wouldn't make sense. And I'm trying to think of other space.
What if you didn't go space at all? What if it was just a complete nonsensical...
Like, maybe The Expanse would work.
The Expanse would work.
I was thinking, what if you did like DuckTales meets Firefly? What would that look like?
Oh, no. I've got it. What is the show that your wife is watching? The love... the marriage at first sight. Let's do that. I married me a powerful, ugly woman. Why do you have to shame me in front of people?
Such a funny show.
Crossover with Mummies Alive.
Gargoyles.
I was thinking actually like Power Rangers. Give the pharaohs mechazoids.
Or, the mummy.
Oh, yeah. Like straight up the mummy.
Have him going after the kid.
Can I tell you, the Brendan Fraser movie franchise is just gold.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser's a treasure.
You bet. You could put Godzilla in anything. You can cross Godzilla into any IP.
But the mummy's alive. You're like, oh no, we gotta go stop Godzilla. Or
let's go throw Godzilla
in the black hole.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
Let's have Godzilla and take on the Reavers.
Godzilla in space. Did you ever watch?
It's the only thing scarier than Godzilla is Godzilla in space.
My brother and I watched this.
Muppets meets Godzilla.
Yes. My brother and I watched this Godzilla movie. It was like Godzilla 2000 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It made no sense. But at the end, this guy was obsessed with Godzilla. And at the very end, he walks out on top of the skyscraper so that he's at eye level with Godzilla. And he's staring at him. And like he's been helping Godzilla the whole time. Like defeat these other monsters. It doesn't make any sense. And he's looking at him. They're looking at each other. Then suddenly he screams, Godzilla! And Godzilla just smashes him with his hand and destroys the whole building. And that's how it ends. And we're like, what? Why did he just kill that guy? Those movies made no sense.
This is nascent though, because in the end of the original Muppet movie, you'll recall that Animal was grown to an enormous size.
Oh,
Animal versus Godzilla, that's a smackdown for the ages,
that
man.
Would be cool.
Animal.
Godzilla. Okay, let's give a little golf update because we are a little over a month into our golf round, and we need to wrap up our off-season challenge now. And we set some goals for what we would do in the off-season. We are well underway. Season 2 kicks off with this episode. season two of our, you know, golf game or whatever is going to officially kick off. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But how do we wrap up our off-season challenge?
Well, if you recall, we had an exercise challenge to try and stay in shape, in golf shape over the off-season.
Golf balls are round. Is round a shape?
You know what I'm talking about. But at any rate, the idea was that we would, if we met our goal on a given week, we would get 2 points. If we exceeded our goal, we would get 3 points. If we did not get our goal but did something, we would get 1 point. And if we did nothing, we would get 0 points.
Yes.
We were going to take an average, and if that, whichever number that average was, that would be our score. So I went through my exercise. I did really well. And my goal was to do 45 minutes a week, which I think is relative for me of targeted exercise. I did a regimen of yoga, cardio, and weight training, as well as flexibility training. And it was pretty successful. I felt pretty good over the off season. I was able to get, 93% of the possible points?
Yeah, you earned 39 of the possible 42 points. I think it was like 93%.
So I was definitely closer to a three than anything else.
So my goal was also 45 minutes, and I did that with, I have a little workout that I kind of do with resistance bands and things like that in my office, and then also virtual boxing and kickboxing. Mm-hmm. It got slower towards the end of our challenge, I will definitely admit, and I looked at the average of kind of how many threes versus how many twos, and I barely snuck into that three threshold. It was really close, but my average, like, percent, 36 points out of the possible 42, but I did have more 3 weeks than two and ones.
Excellent.
What about you, Eric?
All right, so
your exercise goals were a lot higher than mine and John Paul's.
Yes, you had way more minutes per week than we did.
Yeah, I generally try to get out a couple of times a day and do a fast walk. I also have a workout bike in my office, so if I can't get outside, I would be on that workout bike. Usually a couple of times a day, I'd have a 30-minute meeting that I didn't need to talk for, so I'd be doing that. And I was really good about it. I also had workout bands that I was using as well. And then about halfway through, my mom fell and broke her ankle, and I had to go and sleep over at her house, and it just threw off everything for like a month. And then right after that, my wife and I were doing some house repairs, and so I didn't do particularly well. My average was a two.
Barely two. Barely a two. Like, you were borderline three, but I think when we looked at it, it was more of a two.
Yeah, I was closer to a one.
That made it sound like it was closer to a one. No, it was closer to a two than a three.
Closer to a three closer to a two than a three, but on the high side.
Yeah. Now, the stakes for this, I want to talk about stakes, and then I want to talk about results. So the stakes for this was we were determining which golf trip we would earn based on the average that we earned. And I think we've determined, since Eric had a justifiable reason but was closer to a two, Cody was closer than a three, and I was closer than a three. And my creative mathematics says that overall that's closer to a three than it is to a two. And so I think any of the destinations that we picked were on the table. Yes. That having been said, logistically, that doesn't mean that we necessarily have to take the tier three trip, but we have earned it if we want to. So the sky's the limit as far as doing it.
And I think that we'll need to take maybe a lot of that decision factor offline, but we know what's available to us.
Yes.
And we will, you know, get our families involved and whatnot, but we can report that we were successful.
And we will let you know when that trip is, and presumably we'll record while we're on the trip.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
The hope behind this was that it would help us to be more healthy, so that we would be more ready for the golf season when it came around. So the question is, did you see any results?
Absolutely.
Talk to us about it, Cody.
I have lost about 40 pounds.
Wow. Excellent.
That is not just due to the exercise. There's some other things that I've been doing. And thank you, modern medicine, because that is also a weighted significant factor. But how it has also helped, I don't know if either of you guys have noticed. I'm not like tired when we're done golfing and we walk.
Yeah, no, true. You're doing very well walking.
Like when I got to the top of that hill, that's usually I have to like lay on the ground or sit there.
We
and
also
catch
haven't
my breath
hit
for
70
a few minutes.
Degrees one time.
Yeah, that's true. give me my moment. but I'm saying usually it's kind of, I feel really winded and tired, and I feel like I have been able to keep up quite significantly, and I feel better about it too.
Yeah,
that's great.
I've lost some weight, didn't gain any. My goal was to gain some muscle. I don't know if I did, but I lost. I'm back to about what I was in high school. So
that's really good. I didn't lose or gain weight. I'm exactly where I was before. I'm just a very stable weighted person.
But you feel different, right?
I feel different. And I have to say that I was really good during this time, and I felt some significant benefits, particularly when it came to flexibility and balance. Like, I gained a lot of flexibility and I gained a lot of balance. But what I will say, after Masters weekend, when this was over, I haven't touched anything approaching exercise since that day. Like, apparently I need that accountability to do anything useful for myself. And I felt a difference doing it. I have felt more of a difference stopping it.
Really? Mm. I chuckle only because I remember it was before a round, right at the beginning of this year. I think that I don't even think we could officially mark the score in our rounds or anything. But you were like, here, let me show you some of the stretches and golf yoga that I've been doing.
Yeah.
So we sat down and we're like, hey, you lean over here and move this, move your elbow here and move your knee here. And we did it on the one side. And I was like, oh, yeah, that is a good stretch. And then we went and did it on the other side. And I don't think you moved. You were so asymmetrical, inflexible.
Yeah.
So that probably helped a lot because yes. I can't imagine what it was like before.
I am incredibly asymmetrical in the way that I move. And
I wonder if that's...
And I have great flexibility essentially on my right side, so my loading side, so I can load really well, where I lack the flexibilities on the turn on the left side. And that's where all my trouble is happening right now is the exit of the swing. I can't force myself to come all the way around and make a full turn.
I wonder if
and
that so imbalance is messing with your neck.
Yeah. So I need to work on that.
Yeah.
I need to get back into my dumb gym and get back on my exercise train. I need somebody to hold me accountable for it and make sure that I'm doing it. Not this week, because this week it's never going to happen. but starting next week, I've got to get back
well,
in the gym.
Well, I'm happy to keep the accountability going because I now have a commute in my schedule, mm-hmm. and that's a relatively new thing to happen in my life. And it's harder to fit
it
that
is.
Workout in. I also need to wake up that half hour before or make time in it later in the day. I need to do it as well.
Well, and I actually have a proposal on this because I think we enjoy our golf day and I want to continue to enjoy our golf day, but I think possibly we always have a hard time choosing where we're going to eat. And I might take all of the restaurants that are in striking distance and categorize them as a 1, a 2, or a 3. And then based on the workout that I was able to do that week, that's what perhaps I'll allow myself to do. And so if I don't get back in the gym,
treat.
You guys are going to be eating some Arby's.
I like Arby's.
I like Arby's. It's not a bad thing. I don't want to ruin the day.
Wow.
He's so hungry that he can eat at Arby's. Wow, they really are hungry.
No, if I end up at the Taco Bell, you know, things have gone south.
Oh, don't be dissing on my Taco Bell.
That's barely food, man.
We'll go to a super salad. How about that?
Ugh.
Do we even have one of those?
I don't think we do.
Thank heavens.
John Paul does not like salad. He doesn't like the food that his food eats.
Anyway, are you guys on board with that as an ongoing accountability
measure?
Yeah,
I like that.
I want to see your categorization of the restaurants to see if we agree or disagree, and that can also be taken
do
offline.
We have to
we'll do that off air because I don't want to dox all the restaurants. And people probably don't care what I think about restaurants, and I don't care what they think about restaurants. Yeah. I'll think
Is
what
it
I think.
Better for you restaurant?
No, I think he earned himself a treat.
I can have a
That's what I mean.
I can have a tastier restaurant, like a nice indulge myself and eat some calories as long as I've taken the time to burn the calories and strengthen the body the week before.
Okay, but if so I was a lazy today was slob, just a terrible
if I was a lazy around. Slob, I'm just going to throw something minimal in my body and move on.
Well, and that's fair because traditionally, I don't care where we go on golf day because we just walk, you know, like 6 or 7 miles on. And I was like, oh, okay, I did that. Doesn't matter.
Although an all-you-can-eat pizza joint may not have been the play. That was a lot of carbs.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It was delicious, though.
Well, let's transition now and talk a little bit about the upcoming season. Because last season, in terms of golf challenges, we wanted to see who had the most improved golf handicap index. And I make no small mention that a certain somebody won that challenge. That was me. And I won a golf club, and I love it. And every time I bring it up, I'm not even looking at John Paul, but I know he's kind of getting upset because every time I'm like, ooh, if we do another challenge, what if I win? He's like, you're not going to win. You don't need anything else. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
But I think
I know John that Paul, motivates you. It comes from a kind place in my heart.
Sometimes. You said earlier offline that you had some thoughts for this upcoming challenge. And I think it's relatively the same, but I think you had some targeted dates for us. Is that correct?
Yes. I have some target dates, and I have some parameters. Number one, I think it needs to be handicap-based again because we are just trying to get that handicap down. Again, having a lower handicap or a higher handicap doesn't help there. If you've got a really high handicap, a couple of burner rounds is all you need, and you'll be sitting large. The closer you get to that threshold that we're after, the harder it is to chisel it down.
Correct.
But then the closer you are to the threshold anyway. So I think it's a very fair metric. So I think starting today, our handicap index right now. Now, we just played around. We put it in, but that's pending. That hasn't posted yet. And I haven't put in my round for today. So based on the handicap right now, this moment, we all put down our handicaps right now. We will then track the difference in our handicap between now and the 15th of October. Now, the question is, the 15th of October should be the end, but here's the question that we need to debate. Is it who has the biggest difference on the 15th of October, or who reaches the biggest difference at some point during the season? Because we all have streaks where we go up and down. Naturally, you're going to go up and down. What if you're just not peaking then, but you had a burner of a season or a really good time? Right. Hmm. So it's just a thought. I think
that is a tough one. My initial consideration is that your score is your score as of the ending date. However, there is something to be said of the biggest difference in the range.
And the only reason why I want to bring that up is because without going into any detail on the podcast, there are certain personal events going on in our lives that might take golf out of the picture for a period of time. That's just a reality this year. I don't think that would always be the case, but I think this year that might be the case, and I don't want that to be the deciding factor.
Yeah,
I want there to be an opportunity for any one of us to win this thing outright. That means if somebody were to put in 5 really burner rounds right here at the beginning, drops their handicap like crazy, and then golf kind of goes away, the handicap slowly moves back up, they could still win based on that performance.
Yeah, I think I would say the most improved at some point during the season makes sense.
So,
and it needs to be maybe a little like a few rounds, because there could be like a really crazy score that drops off and you drop for one round and then it goes right back up.
Sure.
Well, so how about we say, for example, I'm at a 22.2 right now.
Okay.
And let's say that at some point, I have a couple of really good rounds and drop to an 18.2. Just pure theoretical, that's a 4-point drop.
Yep.
However, as fall starts to creep in and my scores go up and I drop off maybe some of my better scores, I'm now sitting at a 20.2. My difference over the
wouldn't
season
be two, it would be four,
even though my current handicap difference is 2.
Correct.
I'm fine with that. I still think Eric has the biggest advantage here because it is easier for him to shave off strokes.
That's fair.
As long as I can actually play.
As long as you can actually play.
And I'm fine with that, to be honest.
Okay. So your handicap right now is what?
22.2.
So we need that documented. I'm bringing mine up right now. I believe, I don't want to tell you what I believe. Mine is a 19.7.
Nice.
Oh, it's not going to be that by tomorrow. Once I post today's round, it's going up.
What are you, Eric?
I'm at 30.5. Have been for quite some time.
Did your score enter today? Is that going to move it at all? Dang.
My score hasn't moved in like a year.
It's okay. It's going to happen for you. I believe it will. Okay. Now, here's the second part of this. You ready?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Links and legends. Okay. Cody put a lot of time into taking some ideas that we had last season for making golf more interesting and has put it into, we're going to call it a web-based app. And we may release it as an app. We're still talking that back and forth. If you want to see it as an app, let us know. Like, if we get listener response telling us to make it an app, we'll pay money out of our pocket and make that happen.
Or if you want to pay for our developer license.
But right now, it's legitimately free for anyone to use. And there's no catch. Like, there's no point at any point where we're imagining putting a paywall on this thing at this time. Like, the idea is just to make the game more fun. Is that fair?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I will say, we've been using it for a couple of months.
And it's magnificent.
It is fun.
I spread the word, people. Get on. If you haven't done it, get on and get on it. Now, here's what I'm going to say. When you beat a boss, you get a badge. There are accomplishment badges.
Yes.
The 15th of October, the three of us are going to open Links and Legends, and whoever has the most badges wins. Another challenge.
So are we going to say, because there's different ways to get badges between
sure.
different bosses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then each boss also has multiple tiers.
Right.
So let's take the Green Warden, for example. The Green Warden has three tiers.
Sure.
Tier one, you get up and down, I think, two or three times, and you beat tier one.
I've already done that.
Yeah, so have I. And then you unlock level two.
Yeah. Level two is hard. It's five?
It's five, and then it goes up from there. However, you unlock the badge the first time you defeat him at level one. You have the Green Warden badge.
So there isn't a badge for defeating Green Warden level two?
No, you get extra experience. You unlock the extra level, but it's not an additional badge that you unlock.
Oh, okay, so maybe just badges isn't the correct way to measure this.
So
what about XP?
If we want to look at XP or levels, absolutely.
Now, I feel bad about that because I got in some rounds that you guys didn't get in.
But I'm also going to get in rounds that you can't get in and stuff.
Okay.
We'll find some objective way that we can look at our scores on the leaderboard in Links and Legends and determine a additional prize. Okay.
So lowest handicap, we're going to do what we did last year.
No, biggest difference.
Biggest difference in handicap. That's going to be the two guys by the winner a club.
Yes.
And Eric and I already know what clubs we need in our bag.
Yeah, I asked. I was like, what club should I get? And John Paul's like, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're not going to win.
So what do you think would be the prize for having the most XP in Links and Legends?
I don't think that this is a monetary award. I think that this needs to be a collectible. It needs to be a trophy or a talisman, something that you can display on your wall with magnificent levels of pride. And I don't think we've encountered anything awesome enough yet, but I think it's out there, and when we see it, we'll know it.
Okay.
Perhaps it's a stuffed armadillo holding a golf club. I don't know. At some point, we're going to encounter what this is.
Maybe it's the chalice from the palace.
The chalice of champions or something like that,
right? That is true.
We're going to find it, and we're going to make it the Links and Legends
Gauntlet
Challenge.
I love it.
And you are the legend of the
Links. One thing, while we're plugging Links and Legends, it's available at quest.fortherecord.com. We didn't tell them where to go.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over our socials. It's all over our website, quest.fortherecord.com, and that's F-O-R-E, therecord.com.
Or you can go to our website and you can
find
it. Yeah,
and it's on there. It's on our website. If you go to our website, fortherecord.com, it also links straight to it. And I agree with John Paul. This isn't a shameless plug. There's no ads. It's just a passion project that is honestly,
it's one of my favorite things I've ever seen.
This sounds really weird. I am not a very good author, but I like the idea of writing books.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done with why are you laughing at me?
I'm not good at art, but I like the idea of art.
No, it's kind of like I'm not a very good artist, but I like drawing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with what we've done with Links and Legends is we've created this world. It's world building in a sense. And we've built this world of these mythical creatures on the golf course and ways that we can challenge them in real life golf challenges. And it's just a lot of fun. I don't have the capacity or know how to like write a full on novel, but we're building a world through golf. And I think that's cool.
The last thing I'm going to say as a plug for this is that I believe firmly that one of the biggest mistakes that most golfers make is thinking that the one way to play golf is stroke play. That's the only goal is to golf the lowest round. Okay, in its purest form, that's what golf is. Get the ball in the hole in the lowest amount of rounds. The problem is that we live in a day and age where comparison with unrealistic goals is too easy. You watch pros and what they're capable of doing, and something makes us think we can do that. We can't do that. I'm never going to break a course record. I literally will be incredibly ecstatic if in my lifetime I break 80 once. That is a life goal for me. Breaking 80. Guys routinely break 80 every day. I'm not that guy. This gives another level to the play that keeps you in the round right up until the very last hole because there's always something to gain. And even on a round where you know you're not moving the handicap or a round where you're not winning the match play against your buddies, whatever it is that you're playing, there's still a game going on and you have skin in that game until the last putt on the last hole.
Case in point, today on the par three, I had been hitting terrible shots and this was no exception. I told a little bit earlier on best shot, worst shot. My shot off the tee on 15 ended up just off the cart path. But my chip landed to within 6 inches, and so I got a six-inch putt for the par. That's a notch on the green warden.
It is.
That's an up and down, which is how you take some of the HP away from the green warden. You get hits on the green warden by getting up and down, and I did that. Everything else in the round was going to crap, but I did that one thing, and I look back on that round and be like, but I took the green warden down a notch.
You got a boss notched one today. Eric, you notched a boss today. John Paul notched no bosses today, but it was
a
train wreck. But you heard me walking up to the 18th hole. Until I hit that drive on the 18th hole, I was like, I am going to do, I had a goal. I didn't end up doing it because I topped that drive and it was awful. After that, my spirit was broken. I knew there was nothing more to gain at that.
Your soul is weak.
Your soul is weak. Every single one of those bosses kicked my face and took my lunch money today. I will be back next week.
You were pretty low on the course. I think Eric and I had to give you some space today.
Oh, I failed today. Yeah. I failed mentally. I failed physically. I failed emotionally, morally. I'm unattractive.
Where is our big F stamp so we can just put it on his forehead?
Just forehead. Just fail.
No, I'm glad that after some pizza and some winding down, you cheered up because it was pretty rough there for a little bit.
I wouldn't have wanted to be around me.
But yeah, Leagues and Legends, it's a new approach to the game of golf that you can still keep a score. You can still post for your handicap index, but add a little bit of flavor. Add some fun to it and... we're also looking for feedback,
Sure.
Yep. Hit us up on our socials.
Birdie Bev. Time for another Birdie Bev. Ooh, that was harmonious.
Today's Birdie Bev is brought to you by...
Red Arrow Root Beer by the, Orca Beverage Bottling Company.
Is that the sound an orca makes?
That's my orca noise. I don't know, but...
I always imagine they said, seals!
Bottled in milk.
Orcas are dangerous, no man.
This is in Mukilteo, Washington. Bloodthirsty.
Oh, is it?
I don't know where that is.
It's beautiful. If I could live anywhere, Mukilteo, Washington is the place. Oh. You have to be a millionaire to live there.
It sounded like you said muggle tea, and I'm like, well, is there just a whole bunch of muggles there that drink tea or something?
I think it's funny that you have a fake orca call.
You should look at how Mukilteo is spelled.
There you go. This is a non-diet, I believe.
I believe you're correct. I've actually seen this root beer before, and I have never I've never had it, so I'm excited.
Where is that in Washington? It's coastal?
Near Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I would like it's to point out today during today's birdie bev that I think Eric has been thirsty. He was looking at that birdie bev with some longing for a long time during the last segment. You looked excited to drink it.
Thirsty.
Yeah. I got my score.
I'm so thirsty. Got some
cute. I'm giving it a minute to sit. Make sure that there's nothing that...
You might be wise there because sometimes we rate it and then we change our minds like literally moments after we've written down a score.
I'm feeling pretty good about my score.
Okay, I got one.
Okay. Cody, why didn't you start us off today? What'd you give it?
I gave it an 8.
Hmm. Interesting.
Go ahead, John Paul.
I gave it a 7, which is a comparable score.
I also gave it a 7.
Okay. So, right. Cody, you ranked it the highest of the three of us.
I did.
What desirable attributes did you detect?
I don't know if I'm just really thirsty, but I thought it was pretty smooth.
It is a very smooth root beer.
Normally, I like a root beer with a bit of bite.
Mm-hmm.
It did not have a lot of that, but we talk about aftertastes and pretastes and where it hits you on your taste buds. I thought overall it was just the right amount of carbonation, just smooth enough, no bad aftertaste. I was like, this is enjoyable. I liked it.
I liked all the flavor profile of it. And I didn't think that there was anything offensive about it, but I'll tell you why I gave it a 7 instead of an 8, because it's one thing, and it's going to be really hard to describe. Have you ever had like a straight sparkling water?
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time that you had a straight sparkling water? Did the flavor of it surprise you?
Yeah.
I did not like it.
Is an undertone in this root beer, and it's quite a strong one. That carbonated water, and I'm sure... I mean, it's carbonated. That's simple. But for some reason, when I'm drinking it, carbonated water is a note that I'm pulling from it. And it isn't that unpleasant because it's not strong, but it does make it a 7 rather than an 8 for me.
The number one ingredient, carbonated water.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I rated it a 7 because I think it has been in my fridge for quite a while. It's been a couple of months. And I think... the flavor profile on it may be going a little flat.
I don't think so. This says best by 27.
That's
2027.
Okay. That's right. Not bad. The ones that we've tasted that are expired, there's a really definite acrid note.
This didn't have.
I didn't really get the acrid.
Yeah, there was hero note. Like there wasn't anything of note. That's why it didn't get any higher for me.
It was a safe root beer.
It is. So nothing really.
I want to read the ingredients here. So we got carbonated water, pure cane sugar. Natural and artificial flavors, color, phosphoric acid. And then this is which really interesting. Extract of wintergreen and licorice.
Yeah. Sure. Wintergreen is unusual.
Well, a lot of times...
I tasted the licorice. That's in there.
Well, a lot of times that gets thrown in with the end flavors. And they're calling it out on here.
Mm.
It's not very strong. The licorice is there, but I wouldn't write home about it.
Yeah. It's fair. It's a good root beer. I like it.
I'm writing home about it right now. Oh, okay. Dear mother and father, the Red Arrow root beer has tints of hit wintergreen and licorice.
Hello, Mata.
But mostly it's carbonated water. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of For the Record. We are excited for our second season. We hope that you also have enjoyed it and that you will follow us, as now our episodes will be coming out roughly every other week. We'll be back on our own schedule, so we'll be recording more frequently. That's probably a good thing for us. It may not be a good thing for you, but give it a shot. Feel free to follow us on our socials and go to our website foretherecord.com, foretherecord.com. You can communicate with us, ask us questions, give us your take on what you would reboot if you were going to reboot a franchise, or what you would do if you were rebooting the ones that we cited out. And by all means, for heaven's sakes, download
Links and Legends
from our website and play it because it's so good.
And if you are out there on the course and you come back and you mark some things in Links and Legends, and you beat a boss or even take him down a notch, let us know. We want to know which bosses are kind of like, sure, we can look at the stats and be like, all right, we've got X number of users and it seems like everyone beats the Green Warden. But I would love to hear your take on who's your favorite boss and why, and what battles would you like to see in the future.